Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Marisol. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
Good, thanks.
I was telling you before we started recording that I listened to all our podcasts.
Yes.
And our opening sounds like that every single one.
Switch it up.
And then we become super comfortable, but that first like 10 seconds, we're like, hello, how are you? Let's pretend I didn't just talk to you for 30 minutes before hitting record. This is episode 9.
Awesome.
We are combining two themes that kind of work well together. We're doing encourage my independence and make time for me.
Great.
Which seemed natural. Mm-hmm. To pair up, but we thought we could probably do approximately 30-minute content for the both of them.
Sounds great.
So I'm going to read from our book, which you could always acquire on our website, mm-hmm. betheadult.org, right? Mm-hmm. And the first one is Encourage My Independence, read from the child's perspective. Why is this important? This allows me to become more independent and self-confident. It shows me that you have confidence in my ability to handle all of life's situations and emotions. How? Please teach me how to do things and then allow me to do them myself.
Pretty straightforward.
Pretty straightforward. I feel like on this one, I don't have any like sob stories to share.
You're going to disappoint a lot of people.
I think I got this one a little bit. But no, this is, I could see why it's important. Why is this so important? Can I ask a question, interject early on? Is this sort of the opposite of helicopter mommy? A little bit?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, I'll keep with the flying analogy. We want to allow our children to fly. We don't want to clip their wings. Mm-hmm. So we'll use a bird and a helicopter analogy. Right. And you know, in the time we're living in, it's especially important to talk about this because there's so much pressure to helicopter over our children to, air quotes, make sure they turn out to be these successful, happy, whatever that means to you, people.
Mm-hmm. And we tend to, I think we've talked about this in earlier podcasts, a lot of that is not even parental conditioning. A lot of that's social conditioning that, mm-hmm. you know, we hold these standards of this is what's successful and
right
work towards this.
Right. It's the shoulds, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. From society and from our own family of origin. Go ahead.
Is this one that is, I mean, I feel, again, this is probably not one of the ones I've had to really hard. I'm sort of like, whoa, you can do that? And I'll never do it again for that. So maybe I'm not the best at that one. But is this something that happens a lot with parents? Do we maybe do it and are aware of? Is this a blind spot that I might not be aware of doing it?
I'm not sure about you, but for many of us, yes. Because, and there are lots of reasons why, but more often than not, it's our own anxiety that gets in the way, mm-hmm. right? I feel like if I can hover over my kid and air quotes control, because we can't, right, what my child does and do everything for them, then I can make sure they get exposed to lots of different things out in life, all these activities and languages and musical instruments and sports teams and all of that. And if I can tie their shoes for them, then they won't trip and fall. If I can wipe their bottoms when they're little, right, then they won't miss something. Sorry. Okay, yeah. If I can write their papers for them, then they'll get an A, and then our brain goes into they'll get into the right school, whatever that is. And so it's typically we come from a good place always as parents, right?
And it's also the examples you gave are pretty this whole spectrum
for every age, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so but when we do things for our children that they age and developmentally are appropriate for them to do for themselves, we're really clipping their wings in a lot of ways. And one of the most important ways is we're inadvertently communicating to them that we don't have confidence in them, that they can handle this or do this for themselves, or we're communicating that we don't think they can do it as good as we can, which then creates the shame. They don't feel as as good as us. Like a lot of parents, like I'll say to a mom an example of, you know, if a 2-year-old can take a sponge and wipe a table, and the mother, typically mother's response is, oh, but it'll be awful. They'll miss everything. So I need to go behind them and clean it up, right? Mm-hmm. And for some of us who are, you know, more
I'm literally Rolodexing like 3 friends that I know that would not happen.
Right. Or I mean, these were particular than others, that wouldn't be okay. And so it's not something I would recommend. But we don't want to go behind them and then wipe the table behind them. And then, you know, they also get a lot of attention when we do things for them that they can do for themselves. It's like, oh, I know how to get mom's attention. I can pretend I don't know how to do this. Or I can kind of sucker in by saying, oh, but mom, you can do this so much better than I can. Which, you that know, one's feels been, good to yeah, us, yeah, right?
I have examples of that.
Yeah, for sure. So it's very common to do. And it's more common even with the youngest children, which typically, and that was something that I had trouble with, it typically taps into us, into our anxiety of, oh no, this is my last child, I need to get this right, or they're going to grow up and, quote, leave. Quick story, my oldest son is 6.5 years older than my youngest son. And my youngest son was, I think, 7 or 8, so he would have been about 13 or 14. And one day he looked at me in a very kind way, and just really straightforward, and I said something, and he said, Mom, you do so much for, I guess I'll use his name, sorry, Andy, for Andy. Do you know that you do that? You do so many things that he's capable of. And I took a deep breath, and it's like he had taken the blinders off, and I wanted to get defensive, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I did inside. But I just looked at him, I'm like, you know, really? You know, and he gave me like 12 examples. Like it just rolled off his tongue, and he was so right. And when I could compose myself, I thanked him, and then I...
How awesome he had that awareness.
Yeah, and then... Well, he probably was jealous, too. Yeah.
I was actually wanting to say how awesome that he was so kind about it, because in my house, that would have been delivered a completely different way.
But he had been raised, you know, he's the oldest, so he was doing a lot. Yeah. And so what I was going to circle back, you know, and then I worked on it, and I went to Andy, and I said, hey, I am so sorry. I've been clipping your wings, and I explained to him what that meant, and... I'm sorry if I've been communicating to you that I don't have confidence in you. That is so not it. This is my stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I worked on it and changed it because this is what I do for a living. But go ahead.
Well, my question that I have, which I'm wondering maybe our audience might have, is how is this a little bit different than sort of our last episode about chores? Like, is this something specific to just chores, or is this just life skill in general?
Oh, it's a great question. It incorporates chores, but that's just one piece of it. So it's really anything. It's calling to schedule their haircut if they want a haircut. It's making their lunches. A lot of parents will come in and they'll say, you know, they're so stressed out in the mornings because they're trying to do 50 things to get the kids to school in time. And when I start kind of increasing their awareness as to the things that they're doing for their children that the children could be doing, you know, the light bulbs start going off that the children really can be, if they're not old enough to make their entire lunch, they are old enough to make a choice from, you can choose something from this shelf and this shelf. And so it's really in all sorts of areas. It's learning how to advocate for themselves. It's learning how, obviously, to do chores. It's learning how to set a schedule to do their homework. It's learning how to tell their friends that they, to be honest, that they really don't want to come over and play because they want to just take some time and ride their bike by themselves. It's all sorts of
things. Interesting. I feel that I'm thinking about my own kids. I have twins, and this is one where I was blessed with twins who are completely different.
I'm glad you recognize that.
My
too.
Little control group.
Yeah. Oh, no.
My little personal control. No, I'm kidding. But with one, I do not need to encourage independence. It's something that they, I probably feel the opposite. I've had to like hold on to some things that I want to do for them. And then the other one, I'm thinking when you gave the example of like haircuts and so on, just recently, and you know, they're teenagers now and they're going to be 18 and she works. And I had been sending her the text messages from the pediatrician. Mm, you know, you make the appointment like 6 months before.
Right.
So I'm like, just make sure you know about this for your work schedule. Work, boom, comes the week of the thing. And I was like, well, you're going to, she didn't, hadn't made the, she hadn't asked for the time off. So she was going to have to reschedule her appointment. I'm like, well, you're going to have to call.
Good. And,
oh, no, I don't know if this is good, though. I was like, you're going to have to call and reschedule it. And I think it is good. And then the next thing I know, you know, maybe an hour later, I get a Venmo from her. Venmo's the, when you
send money.
Send money. And it was $20. And I was like, what's this for? And she's like, oh, it's for a cancellation fee.
Ah.
And I felt guilty at first, but then I was like, well, no, this is, you know.
She, so you had her pay for it.
I didn't. They must.
She took that
She took it upon herself.
Oh,
like
good for
when
her.
She called, you know, I'm assuming they said, here's a cancellation. There's going to be a cancellation fee. And I got the, I found out from her Venmoing money. So, and, but with her, it's been something to work on, to be like, you can do, like, you have this technology available to you. You can do anything I can.
Right. They can do a lot more than we can, right? Yeah. And you have confidence in her to do it. And that's beautiful. So that's a prime example of how she's been conditioned to step up and take responsibility for her actions. You know, counseling centers, probably a couple times a week I get articles where counseling centers are in colleges just being inundated by kids with anxiety and depression. And one of the main reasons is because their parents carried them through school. And now they're, air quotes, on their own at school, and they don't know how to manage their time or study for tests or tell their professor if they need help or write
or
a paper.
Advocate for themselves.
Advocate, right? All of that. And so
I've read some things about that, and I have a friend who's, well, he's my friend as well, but her husband is a professor, and he tells the stories all the time, you know, how different it is for incoming college freshmen than it was when we were, you know, freshmen.
Oh, yeah. It's so different. And it, and one of the examples, I was shocked that one of my friends, actually, who works at a university, said that it's common for parents to call professors and say, hey, my child's not gonna be able to turn his paper in because he's sick, or my child deserved an A.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Okay,
it's kind of hard for me to imagine, but it's happening more and more, isn't it? So that child's not prepared to
for
be,
life.
Yeah. That's yeah.
Right. And in my book, it's one thing to not be prepared for what the activity or the task or the challenge is. But what's underneath that, more often than not, is a lack of confidence in him or herself to be able to be independent.
Yeah.
Because if you tell your child they could fly, but yet you're doing everything for them, they're not going to believe you.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go put them down when they're 18 and expect them to get a job or go to school or something, and they're going to fall down.
Yeah. I have one more question, then we'll move on to the second topic. So what are some steps if you are a parent who you're listening to this and you're recognizing yourself? And again, be kind to yourself, have grace for yourself, because the intention behind you probably doing all these things comes from love.
It's pure, sure.
So if you're listening to this and you're like, ding, 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 this that's going to be my kid, what are the first steps? Because this can kind of be a culture shock to a child if, you know, they're somewhere... They're used to the one experience, and then you're going to come at them with, like, okay, I'm going to encourage your independence.
Now. Yeah, and I think it's easy for a lot of us to get sucked into, because I'm not saying that child's being manipulative, but they want as much of us as possible, and it's easier if mom makes my bed for me or calls the teacher, right? But it's also a lot of people, especially women, have more of the kind of codependent personality conditioned that way from childhood, and it's... Well, I feel good when I am, you know, saving you or doing this for you. So we need to be really aware of what we're getting from it. And getting from it doesn't mean healthy, right?
Yeah.
What the payoff is. Yeah.
I lied. I do have a story.
Oh.
And this is an example of how the conditioning could be so in your subconscious that you're not even aware of it. So when, so that my kids are going to be 18. I don't know. I would say 10, 11. I don't know what grade that is. Mm-hmm. So let's say from kindergarten to that age. Somehow I had in my head made it okay for me to deliver breakfast in bed to one of my three children.
Oh.
The male, the only male. And is there's a word for that when you treat, I know it's a cultural thing in my culture, but I don't know what the vocabulary word is, but it's something where you are kind of subservient to the male.
I can come up with a lot of words for that, that I don't want to say.
But if you know me, or if you've got a sense of me over the last few podcasts, that's not how I what I believe at all.
Heck no.
in any shape, way, or form. But in my head, I had justified it because he was such a good student, mm-hmm. that I was like, well, and his mm-hmm. siblings never said anything, never, wow. you know, questioned it. It wasn't until he had his best friend was sleeping over and he became aware, and he like slides into the kitchen and he's like, at the time he used my married name. He's like, Mrs. you know, so and so. He's like, how do I get in on this breakfast in bed situation? And suddenly it was like light bulbs, like yeah. this whole thing, like in my head, my intention was like, oh, I'm praising his effort.
Makes sense. Yes. I'm rewarding his effort, right?
I'm using this phrase. But I realized, no, that's what I saw growing up, being the only girl
right.
with brothers mm-hmm. and all in my family, how, you know, the women get up and get the dishes and clean mm-hmm. and the men sit around. That's what I grew up seeing.
Yep.
And I consumed it.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it...
You drank the Kool-Aid.
But it was so in my subconscious mm-hmm. because I could have been spewing, you know, the complete opposite of that.
Yeah.
But I was not encouraging his independence by...
No. And can I...
And we've had plenty of discussions about it. And now it's just a family joke at this point. But yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. I love that. I'm so glad you corrected that. Can I piggyback on that?
Yeah.
So it's also a beautiful way to create entitled children,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're like, oh, I can wrap mom around my finger. Mm-hmm. And then they grow up believing that they deserve that type of treatment and then look for it in their relationships and get frustrated when they don't receive it. And then you're going to get his partner calling you someday and like, you ruined him.
I already can see envision that conversation. Like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you corrected it. It's all good. It's all good. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. So what would we do? So I would encourage any of us, which is most of us, right, to, again, and a theme has developed that going to our children is really one of the first places to create change. Well, let me back up. Within ourselves is really the first place, and then we bring it to our children with modeling the behavior we'd want, right, and when they screw up. So I would basically say to my child, like, I am so sorry. I have become more aware that I've been doing things for you that you can do yourself. I have so much confidence in you that you can do these. And so when they hear that, that feels really good. And then when they actually follow through and they accomplish these things, then their confidence grows even more. So it's really a double gift. And so I'm going to, so if this is a young kid, I would go to Google and look for kind of age and developmentally appropriate tasks for a 2-year-old or a 5-year-old. But as our kids get a little bit older, we want to actually brainstorm with them and say, what are the things that you're aware of that I am doing for you or helping you with that you really, truly have the aptitude that you can accomplish on your own? And let's talk about that. And let's work through that. And from now on, so we're going to come up with, you know, a list, but we can add to it. It's a fluid list. And I just want you to know that from now on, when one of those things is occurring or I notice something else or you do, if I start to jump in and help you, I'd love for you to say, got this, right? Or if I start jumping in, I'm sorry, or if you want me to jump in, right, I'm going to look at you and put it back on you and say, I have confidence in you that you can accomplish this task. And I'll be in the other room if you have any questions. And sometimes they'll need some support and some help to actually follow through with the entire piece, but at least we can hand them parts of something too. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. I would close with just saying that what I've seen in you know, I've seen some of my children resist when I encourage their independence. Mm-hmm. But what I've also seen is when they get a taste of it, mm-hmm. They want it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
yeah,
that's good luck, everyone. That one. So the next one is make time for me. So I'm going to read from the book, Why Is This Important? This shows me that I'm worth making time for and that I matter to you. It also teaches me that I need to make time for the important people in my life, including you. How? Please spend at least 15 minutes of one-on-one uninterrupted quality time doing something with me every day.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple.
Oh, it does.
It really does.
Well, the concept is simple. The hard part is making the time for it, right?
I would counter that the hardest part, this is observational, not even speaking for myself so much, is not the making the time, though. I think that's a close second. It's being present when they're mm-hmm. with their kids.
Sure. 'Cause
there's a difference.
Absolutely.
Is that?
Yeah. So,
And what I mean by that is that, you know, the phone is put away.
Right.
They're in that moment and they're listening and
yes.
participating in the, you know, conversation versus being there but not being there.
Yeah, being checked out or in their heads, or in our heads. You know, all of us know what it feels like when we're trying to talk to someone and we know that they're not listening, mm-hmm. right? And that doesn't feel good to us. And now imagine a child trying to talk to a parent, right? And they feel that we're not listening. The most important thing, one of the most important things, to be clear, that we need to communicate to our children is that they're good enough for us. And so one of the best ways to do that is to make time for them, be present in it. We'll talk about in a minute how to do that. But really in all relationships, people want to feel like they matter. We want to feel like we matter to each other. Because if we don't feel like we matter, why be in this relationship? And children are, air quotes, stuck in their family system with us for give or take 18 years, right? Mm-hmm. And so they don't have a choice to leave. And so if they don't feel like they matter, then they're not going to feel good about themselves. The relationship's not going to feel so great. Mm-hmm. And they're going to let us know that by acting out. And so communicating to our children that they matter by saying to our kids, basically, right, you matter so much to me that even though I'm trying to work and take care of the house and cook dinner and all of that, and life is really difficult, I want to set aside 10 minutes. That's all it takes. 10 minutes every day to show you how much you mean to me, to show you you're important, and to get to know you. And then we have rules where we have no cell phones. No one is to interrupt us. We, best case, is have the child kind of choose what the activity is within the framework of your house and what's reasonable. An active engagement, not watching TV together. I'm not saying you can't watch TV, but to make sure you at least have 10 minutes a day, one-on-one, where you're playing a game, throwing a ball, baking cookies, drawing together, talking. And children love this. They absolutely love it. So when they're young and they trust that it's going to happen every day, then it's something that we can use, right, to take away negative reinforcer when, you know, as a consequence. And then as they get older, right, it's the time I still did it with all of my kids until they left for college, because it was the time they would talk to me, mm-hmm. because they got used to that and they mm-hmm. knew it was a safe space that I was fully present with them. Go ahead.
No, I'm just thinking, you know, because I could feel some parents probably worrying, you know, let's say mm-hmm. they have multiple children, trying to find 10 minutes mm-hmm. to do an activity. And I just like to say that what I've seen in my home, excuse me, as they got older, excuse me, it was less an activity, more mm-hmm. a conversation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is sort of like a natural thing that now occurs. And mm-hmm. I'm not the one that sets it. Like, they
nice.
Come
to you.
To me.
Beautiful. It's more organic.
Yeah. So that uh-huh. kind of also happens with time. I feel like when they were younger, it was more like, for me at least, harder mm-hmm. to do the activity thing.
Yeah.
With three different kids.
It's a lot.
With three different kids, three different after school activities. And, you know, that there's a time where it's it is almost impossible, it feels like, to find, you know, that time. But I feel this is one of my favorite things. Because I think when, you know, I get the compliment about how close I am with my kids, I think this is where it comes from.
Yes.
Which is, you know, just... it's part of our thing. Like,
yeah, and so to pat yourself on the back, where I will right now, right? The reason that happened is because you were communicating to your children that, you know, they mattered to you, so they could feel safe with you because you were present with them, right? You make eye contact, the cell phone's not there, it's just me and you, right? Mm-hmm. My heart is right here with yours. I'm sitting facing you, open heart to open heart, eyes to eyes. I'm getting down on your level. And so your child felt, or children, feel safe to be vulnerable, right? Because in that moment, they felt like you were really holding their heart, that you were right there with them and that you cared. And when we do that, and yes, I ask for every day. I always ask parents for the moon. But even if it happens a couple times a week, or even start out once a week on the weekend, mm-hmm. 10 minutes, and then build upon that as time goes on and we can fit it in. There's so much value. I want to give you an example. it's more than occasionally, when I kind of nudge parents along, right? And a parent was being courageous and being honest about how it was really hard for her to find time with her son. And I basically, you know, had a good relationship with her first before I said this, but I basically looked at her and said, you know, her son's young, he's under 5. And I said, she's like, I just can't find the time. I'm doing this, 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 and this, which is all true and real and valid, right? And she was just trying to survive. But her son was acting out because he just really was sad and he missed her and not feeling enough. I said, imagine putting your son on a chair over there, and I pointed, and I said, let's pretend he's 15. And let's pretend he looks at you and says, Mom, how come you never spend any time with me? Yeah.
I'm cueing, like, that song, Cats in the Cradle. I'm totally dating myself.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I said, what are you going to say? Mm-hmm. What would it be like for you to say, I was just too busy. Mm-hmm. You didn't matter enough to me. And she started to cry, which broke my heart, but she started really feeling the pain of
the truth.
Mm-hmm. And she's been now incorporating some days it's 2 minutes, some days it's not at all, some days it's a half hour. But she says to her son all the time now, I want to know you. I want to spend time with you. I'm going to look at my schedule today and really try to make this happen. And when we set the time, we need to follow through. If we can't, if the toilet floods, well, it's okay. But we don't want to teach our children they can't trust us. Mm-hmm. And if we can't, because the toilet floods, we actually, again, model and say, I am so sorry. Toilet flooded, so sad I can't have my time with you today, but we're going to schedule it for tomorrow at 3 o'clock or Saturday at 5.
Yeah. And I also, in this, you know, time, it's just, everyone's incredibly busy and there's so much going on. Mm-hmm. And I completely understand that
Absolutely.
Stress of parents. Mm-hmm. Especially I feel there's like a, you know, I don't know, I want to say like from fifth grade to like sophomore year in high school, this extreme busyness that overruns us. But I will say, I have felt in my experience with my kids that it's not even 15 minutes sometimes. Sometimes it's, you know, it could go on for 30 minutes, but sometimes it's just five, like
just two or three.
You mm-hmm. let, I've noticed times where, and I think I've used this example before, and I've learned this from a friend of mine, to just put down the phone mm-hmm. and pivot and, you know, mm-hmm. look at them. Or if I can at that very moment, be like, give me whatever, blah, 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 and I'm going to give you my full attention. So they know when I'm giving them my full attention. And that could be 5 minutes or it could be 30 minutes. And sometimes it's not always when something wrong is happening. That's, you know...
Absolutely.
The hope that when something's wrong happens, they come to you. But it's the everyday stuff.
Absolutely.
It's just the observations of what it's like growing up in today's, you know.
Yeah.
Just what's going on in their life.
Yeah. Or it's even saying, you know, hey, I'm just noticing your pretty smile. And I'm noticing how my heart feels warm when you walked in the room. Yeah. It's that authentic connection.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I'm probably less... that I would say that's very flowery. No, it's beautiful.
Therapy
it's,
speak.
It's
yeah.
very beautiful, but that's probably, it's not that would, but for me, it might be something more like, hey, I heard this podcast today. I think you'd love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, what's it about? Mm-hmm. And blah, blah, blah. And finding something to connect with, you know, and there's infinite different ways to yes. do it.
So what I'm just going to pull from the Gottmans, they're huge marital gurus. They call it making bids toward. So we can either lean away in a relationship, we can parallel play, or we can lean in. And the healthiest relationships are ones where we lean in very small ways. They call them bids. I call it leaning in, mm-hmm. right? By examples you just gave, shooting a text, just, hey, I was thinking about you, or hey, did you hear that story? Or, you know, leaving a sticky note in their bathroom with a little heart.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't have to be much. But what it's communicating is, you matter to me. I want you to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a great family text. I say it's great. My kids mm-hmm. would probably be rolling their eyes right now if they were in the room. But, you know, I honestly feel like we're parenting through funny, you know, GIFs at this point.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
But it opens up a lot of conversations, a lot of interesting conversations about what's going on in the world and so on. So I love this one. I think, I don't remember specifically when I put it into play. They were probably a middle school age, mm-hmm. I would say. But I remember it not. I remember in the beginning, it just being a struggle to find the time.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest, want to do it. Because in the sense that, you know, you have a million things going on,
right.
It's that feeling of there's another thing to do. But then when you lean in, when you, like you say, lean into it or just give into it, mm-hmm. and then you just naturally see it progress over yes. time, it's just beautiful.
Your want increases. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I was going to make a point earlier that, yes, it's front-loaded. This discipline stuff's front-loaded with effort. Mm-hmm. And what typically happens is that when kids feel more seen, more heard, more connected with it, they matter, they act out less. And so we start realizing that, you know what, I'm not as busy as I was trying to micromanage or put fires out with the kids or break up sibling stuff.
That's what I was going to say, the sibling stuff. When I made time for the
yes.
individual mm-hmm. child, there is less sibling stuff
yes,
that arose.
Because they're getting what they need. Mm-hmm. And so I highly recommend that, you know, take what I say, anybody, and massage it to make it yours, that you actually can do this. But every child, 10 minutes every day. Take that, do what you can. But when children know that they're going to at least get 10 minutes of solid one-on-one, I'm making a fist, rock solid one-on-one present time with the parent, so much of they're acting out to get our attention, or their sibling stuff, which is to get our attention, goes away. Mm-hmm. And then we realize, again, it's increasing that want to keep doing this, because like, wow, yes, I had to add 10 more minutes of something during my day, but I'm way less stressed and less busy with the
XYZ.
Noise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add about that? I know it sounds simple, but then at the same time, with the way our lifestyles are today, yeah. it could seem daunting, but it's totally doable for everyone.
Yeah, two more things I would add. One is that anyone who's in a relationship with someone, with a partner, do this with your partner too. Try to set aside 10 minutes every day to connect. It's hard to have emotional intimacy when we're screaming for our partner across the house, right? Try to go into the room more, face your partner, sit open heart to open heart. And sometimes just be and look into each other's eyes, or focus on your senses of what's in the moment, right? Kind of get out of the noise. It will really help us. And the other thing, I forgot what I was going to say. I know I did. Sometimes even just adding in a simple meditation at dinner. So if we can't find the 10 minutes, so we add a 2 or 3 minute meditation for the whole family to do at dinner. And that kind of forces us to sit alongside our children and model and also calm ourselves down, but also model being present, focused, centers, just gets everyone a chance to kind of feel, even if we're not really interacting, but just to feel really complete presence with each other.
Yeah. The biggest benefit I could think of about this is probably lessening the sibling rivalry, mm-hmm. I would say, is mm-hmm. when each child feels like they have my attention, they can mm-hmm. speak to me
yes.
one-on-one, we can talk, there's less acrimony between the siblings.
Right.
And that was a huge revelation for me.
Yeah, because most of sibling rivalry is to get our attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, you know, I talk about being present. You can be in a car with your kid for 2 hours driving to a right. sporting event mm-hmm. and not
be present.
Not
yes.
be present.
Yeah.
So I think that goes back to one of our original, you know, podcast on mm-hmm. it and why we build up on it. That's the starting point.
Right.
Is really teaching yourself to be in that moment with your kid.
Yeah, and it takes practice, meditation, and then there's many present-centered techniques we can use. A quick one that I use quite often, and I've taught my kids, and they've told me they use it, is when you're in a room, to pick a color. So let's say I pick the color blue, and then I scan the room, and I notice and actually say out loud all of the blue things that I see. So it brings my brain to the present moment, and it helps me be centered and be right here with you. So it's just kind of one of many techniques we can use to be present, which is so hard.
It's hard, but it can happen.
With practice.
With practice. All right. Well, thank you very much. That is episode 9. We will be back next Sunday with episode 10. And that topic will be Guide Me. So that will be fun. Guide
Perfect.
Me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So please remember to share, subscribe, and review. We appreciate it. We are a nonprofit. And if you would like to purchase, or is it a donation?
No, it's actually free now.
It's free now. Okay. It is free. A copy of the children illustrated book, From My Heart to Yours, How to Be the Adult I Need. Please go to our website at betheadult.org. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Be the Adult podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. A special thank you to a few of our Barn Dance Barbecue fundraiser sponsors for their generous support. Delaney Radiology, Coastal Carolina Radiation Oncology, Wilmington Gastroenterology, the Law Office of Jeffrey Porter, Dermatology Associates. See you on the next episode of Be the Adult Podcast.